You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode being dropped on the 11th day of September 2020. We are going to be available in the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and on all the podcasts you get. And you're staying at home during these trying times. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let me tell you what I'm doing. There's a little bit of a weather emergency going on here in California, and I am not going to be able to record an original episode for the 11th day of September, which is obviously an important day to be talking baseball. But alas, I don't have the time because of potential evacuations in our part of Los Angeles County. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going back to the Sully Baseball Archives, and this is a piece that I recorded back in March of 2016 when I was in Pullman, Washington, earning my master's degree from Washington State University, and I had some observations about the infield cutouts on AstroTurf stadiums and what that means for nostalgia. So please enjoy the Sully Baseball Rewind here on Locked On MLB. This is going to be a strange topic today. I'll be the first to admit it. But I think it leads to something a little greater, a little something that makes me a little sad. The Toronto Blue Jays are the final team to have the cutouts at the bases instead of the full dirt base paths. Where, you know, the diamond, it goes out, it circles around the bases and everything. That you remember when artificial turf started to pop up all around baseball, they wouldn't have the full dirt around the infield. There would just be cutouts or sliding pits that would be around first base, second base, third base, and a circle around home. And the pitcher's mound would be dirt. But the rest of it would be a part of the carpet, part of the artificial turf, and there would be an outline of the entire infield, but only the parts around the bases would have dirt on it. And if you go back and you take a look at World Series games that were played, like in St. Louis or in the Metrodome, you know, in Sky Dome in Toronto, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, all those places where they had the artificial turf, you saw that that's how the infield was. The infield was, you know, all those stadiums had the outline and not the full infield. And there was a practicality for that. You see, what happened in the mid-60s through the creation of Sky Dome at the end of the 1980s was there was the movement for stadiums was not to build quaint palaces of yesteryear that made you think about looking through the old knothole and all this nostalgia crap. But there was a practicality and an efficiency to the stadiums. They weren't going to build a stadium just for baseball. They weren't going to build a stadium just for football. They were going to have a stadium that could be used for both. And when you stop and think about it, that makes a lot of sense. They just built right down in Santa Clara, not far from where I'm usually in the Silicon Valley. But just down the 101 from Palo Alto, they just built the new stadium for the 49ers. That's where they played the last Super Bowl. And the 49ers play what? 8 regular season games, maybe a playoff game or two, a couple preseason games, and that's it. That's probably around, 11 or 12 49er games that are played there, plus a couple of college football games, plus a couple of soccer games. I think they're going to play a bowl game there, and maybe 2 or 3 concerts. It's going to sit empty, I'm going to say, easily 250 days a year. Easily. It's just going to sit there. Nothing going on in there. I live, in Southern California, the Rose Bowl. Most days, the Rose Bowl just sits there. Now, meanwhile, a baseball stadium is going to have 81 games and a few other events. So they're probably going to be in use, you know, it's probably going to get 150 to 200 days worth of use. But the mindset was, hey, if we combine a baseball and a football stadium, it gets a year-round use, a lot more, it doesn't sit there empty, and it's more efficient. You just build one stadium. And they tended to be circular because that basically was the middle ground between what a baseball stadium should be, which is kind of not quite a triangle, but, you know, certainly not a circle, and a football stadium should be an oval. And this kind of split the difference. And you saw all these multi-purpose stadiums popping up. And because they were multi-purpose, you saw that they had, most of them had artificial turf, because it was probably easier to maintain, and they had uniform dimensions. You saw the dimensions in Philadelphia were the same as they were in Atlanta, the same as they were in St. Louis, the same as they were in Pittsburgh, and blah, blah, blah. All of them were a circular stadium. Shea Stadium was similar. Sky Dome was similar. And having artificial turf made sense, and if you were going to transform it from baseball to football, it was easier to fill in the patches when they were those little sliding pits. Now, there's not a lot of nostalgia for that. In the article, you hear about, like, you know, Jim Bowden, the former Cincinnati Reds GM who played, you know, who was involved with the team at Riverfront Stadium, said not one bit of nostalgia he feels. Larry Boa says no one will miss it. Terry Pendleton said no one will miss it. And I can understand why some of the players certainly don't miss the artificial turf, because it wreaked havoc on their knees. I mean, it was bad for your knees. I mean, Lord knows what it did to Andre Dawson all those years playing in Montreal. Terry Pendleton had several knee surgeries. And a lot of them, you know, it became a reason to go to a place like Atlanta or like Chicago, where you're going to play on regular turf and not blow your knees out. So I get that. But our artificial surface is probably a little better than it was back then. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is I'm going to miss the dirt cutouts. I'm going to miss that there was a stadium that still had that. Because as a fan, I feel a little bit of nostalgia about this. I wrote a piece on Bleacher Report back when I wrote articles for Bleacher Report that basically said I wanted them to keep one cookie cutter park. I wanted them to keep one circular stadium. Just one. The one that I suggested they keep was the one in St. Louis. Because while that was a circular stadium, it certainly had a lot of character and had a ton of memories. A lot of great memories, including several world championships, many pennants, the Go Crazy Folks home run by Ozzie Smith, the walk-off home run by Jim Edmonds, Bob Gibson striking out all those batters, you know, Bruce Sutter getting the final out of the 82 World Series. You know, there's a lot of things, positive memories that took place in that. And the other thing to remember is, if all the other stadiums, all the other cookie-cutter parks, are knocked down, then by definition, the one that's left would be unique. The one that's left would not be a cookie-cutter park. The idea of calling them a cookie-cutter park is that they all, first of all, they were the shape of a cookie, and they all looked the same. Well, you know, I can understand. I made a call for keeping the Vet because that was the only place that the Phillies ever won a championship. But they went on, they had a wonderful streak in their new park, and that's a nicer place than the Vet. And the ballpark that they made for the Pirates, PNC, I've not been there yet. I went to a game at Three River Stadium, and I can tell you what that felt like. It felt like I was watching a game in the Steelers' park. And PNC Park, by all accounts, is one of the most beautiful new ballparks there is. You know, and you take a look at some of the other, you know, circular parks. I went to a game at Riverfront Stadium. I really liked Riverfront Stadium. I actually liked it a lot. And you could make an argument that their greatest years were played in Riverfront Stadium. That would be a moment to be nostalgic. But Great America Ballpark looks great. And the fact that you have a stadium that's on the river, that you can see the river from the park, that's one of the nice things about PNC. I get that. I get the appeal. But if they kept one stadium, one, that was a circular stadium, you would have had, like, as I said, St. Louis would be a good case for one. If you had that, it would look unique. You would recognize it instantly. I bet I would recognize old Busch Stadium more than I recognize the new Busch Stadium. I don't know what's unique about the new Busch Stadium. What's special about that that differentiates it from the new Washington Stadium or the new stadium in Philadelphia? I can't tell the difference. Can you? They look the same to me. And it looks like the new ballpark they're going to build for the Braves looks eerily similar to them.
This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for something that's delicious, that tastes great, and that's good for you, you got to turn to Built Bar. And there are now all new flavors. There's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. They're terrific. And they're, if you're a health conscious person trying to maintain weight, you're trying to lose weight, you can't do better than Built Bar, because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, great for the keto diet. Take coconut almond, 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. And you want, you get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Keeping one circular park would suddenly make that be a point of pride. A point of, yeah, this is our place. This is where these memories were. And we're the only park that looks like this. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays shouldn't feel like an old-time franchise, because they're not. I mean, they were formed in 1977. They're nearly 40 years old. But they're still, compared to some of the other franchises, relatively new. But keeping those dirt paths was something I still liked, because I'm nostalgic for it. You know, this goes back to a larger problem, and something that, you know, kind of bothers me a little bit. That for people my age, I'm not nostalgic for the 40s and 50s. I'm not. Do you know why? I didn't exist then. I wasn't alive then. That was the previous generation's nostalgia. My nostalgia is for the late 70s and 1980s. That's when I was growing up. When I look back to the baseball of my youth, guess what? A lot of it was in circular stadiums. A lot of it was on artificial turf. A lot of it were in those little cutouts. In other words, yeah, it's not the old-timey baseball, but it was the baseball that I grew up with and learned to love baseball on those types of surfaces and in those types of ballparks. So by wiping it out, there is a sense of wiping out my nostalgia. Why does my nostalgia not count? If you grew up in the 70s, in the 80s, and as I said, my memories in baseball really began in the late 70s. You remember the pullover uniforms, the polyester uniforms, the bright colors, the lunacy of the uniforms in the 79 World Series, where the Pirates had all sorts of combinations and the Orioles had bright orange. And you also remember there were teams that were built upon the type of play that you could have on artificial turf. The Cardinals figured it out big time. They said, you know what? If we have a bunch of jackrabbits on our team and a bunch of players who can play good defense and players who can hit the ball on the ground and beat it out, then they're going to have base runners and have that one clubber in the middle of it, whether it's Hernandez or Jack Clark or whomever it is who could poke one out, then boom, you're going to wind up winning 3 pennants in that decade and should have won 2 World Series. Probably 3 World Series, because they probably should have beaten the Twins. But that's neither here nor there. And the fact that you had teams that knew how to play in those parks with the artificial turf. It brings me to the Metrodome. Yeah, the Metrodome was ugly. Yeah, the Metrodome was unsightly. When they played games in the Metrodome, was there any question where they were playing? Target Field in Minnesota, who has featured a grand total of 2 postseason games in its history? What do you remember about that? When there's a game being played in Target Field, what jumps out at you and say, oh, we're in Target Field right now? I don't know what it is. But there's a distinct character that happened in some of these parks. And it was for us who grew up then. If you saw the best years the Pirates ever had, it was in Three Rivers Stadium. The best years of the Cardinals were in the Busch Stadium there. The first Phillies championship, the first great Phillies run, was in the Vet. The greatest memories in Atlanta history, I did a whole podcast on this, the greatest memories in Atlanta history were not in Turner Field. They're at Fulton County. Whether it was Henry Aaron's home run, or Dale Murphy's, you know, heyday, or the Francisco Cabrera hit, or winning the 95 World Championship, they were all at Fulton County, a circular ballpark. This is our nostalgia. Right up until the formation of Camden Yards, which became this gigantic success, and with that went away artificial turf, went away sliding pits, went away dimensions that were uniform, because they saw, oh, if we make it quirky and everything, people love that, it brings back nostalgia. And I'm not saying that I'm not for the building of these parks. I mean, hell, the best ballparks I've ever been to. AT&T Park's amazing, the best in the game. Petco Park is an incredible ballpark. Jacobs Field is a great ballpark. Turner Field was a great place to see a ball game. The ballpark in Arlington's a great, I don't know what it's called. They keep changing it every 2 minutes. They're wonderful places to see ball games. I'm the first to admit it. Absolutely. But do you know what? There should be some remnant, some reminder of the baseball that I grew up in. But some element that you look at and go like, yeah, it wasn't all ballparks that look like Ebbets Field. It wasn't all ballparks that look like Fenway Park. Some of baseball history and some of the best games in baseball history and some of the greatest eras in baseball history and some of the best teams in baseball history played in concrete donuts. And it would be nice for those of us like me who have this piece of nostalgia to have something for us to reminisce about and look at. I'm going to miss the dirt cutouts. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I am, because it reminded me of the game I grew up watching. It's now going to be something completely in the past, something completely eradicated. And you're going to see that there's going to be people who look back at World Series games from the 70s and 80s and scratch their head and go like, huh, what was up with those cutouts? And I guarantee you, someone's going to watch them at one point and go, those were cool. I wonder why we don't have those anymore. Do you know why? Because nostalgia is the exclusive property of the generation before me. And look at that. As I'm recording this, somebody's car alarm is going off.
All right, well, I hope we're doing okay. I hope you're doing okay. Thanks for listening to this rewind we have. Have a wonderful weekend, and please stay safe. This is Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.